Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
We are live here on Worst First. Guys, poor Dr. Guanche. Anna Guanche is here. She's a dermatologist. We love her. I'm so glad you're here.
Loving the applause right now.
You're not going to believe what happened. She's been here for an hour already and we recorded a whole podcast and my dumbass forgot to hit record on my phone. And so now we're doing it again.
And now we're doing it again. So if we sound like we've said this once before, it's because we probably did.
This is, honestly, I'm so grateful to you for you to stay here. I've never had this happen to me before. No, so I'm so grateful for you to be here with me.
No worries.
For another hour. And we kind of had a test run.
Yes, we had a test run. We're going to be so smooth. It's going to be so good.
So smooth. Don't like her skin. So Dr. Guanche is responsible for helping me not look like a troll, which is lovely. And she has her own facility, the Bella Skin Institute, which is a dermatological facility. She also does fillers and Botox and everything, checking for cancer and all kinds of things. And yes, she's a doctor. And so I was in to see her last week and she was telling me some of the horror stories of her residency as a doctor. And you went to LSU, right? Louisiana State University.
That's right, LSU. And at LSU, our whole medical school was run at Charity Hospital, which is a very, very busy hospital in New Orleans where we had a lot of things to do, a lot of work to do. And you couldn't run that hospital without students.
Right.
So we got a lot of hands-on experience. So I was telling Brittany that we had a suture clinic and we also had a cyst clinic.
The cyst clinic.
Cyst clinic. Ugh. That was run by students. And I was going to tell them my worst first. So we had this woman come in. She was a little bit,
heavier. Heavy built woman.
Yeah. And she had what she called a boil under her breast. And we had to have two students hold her breast up. It was very voluptuous, very big.
Wow.
And underneath there were some crumbs and moisture and maybe a wrapper.
A remote.
And she had a tennis ball sized ball of pus under her breast. We call it a carbuncle. And so I had not done that before, lanced one before. So I have my mask on, and this was before we had to wear masks everywhere.
Oh my gosh.
I was trying to lance it, and we were running out of gauze. White, milky stuff kept pouring out and pouring out and pouring out. And I guess because of the smell, I was holding my breath the whole time. And so next thing you know, I wake up, and there's a bunch of people looking down at me because that was the only time I've ever passed out. So it's my first and worst passing out.
What does it feel like to pass out? I've never passed out.
I think what I did is I stepped out of the room when I was done and I had been holding my breath the whole time and I slid down I remember sliding down the door jamb, like the back of my head just scraping down.
Do you just get kind of like fuzzy?
I think you've never passed out. Good. That's good. That was the only time I've ever passed out. And wow. So it was like seeing white stars kind of thing and then gone. And then the next thing you know, everybody's like worried about me. So I wake up and there's all these heads like looking down at me like, are you okay? Are you okay?
They're like, too much cream cheese for your bagel? Oh my gosh.
And I was telling Brittany, I did Gross Anatomy before that. I dissected cadavers. I did all that stuff when, you know, as a medical student, and I had never passed out until this pus event with all the white milky pus coming out. I was like, oh my God.
What did the lady say when you were done? Was she like, thanks? What do you say to someone when you just get rid of a giant tennis ball size cyst under your titty?
You know, I must have been starting to pass out by the end of that, because we actually don't just have to take out the pus. We have to pack it with gauze, so to keep it from refilling. So we had to like pack it with this gauze. So I think maybe that whole time I'm like, I'm not going to take one single breath in.
Oh my God. I wouldn't either. It smells like, what does it smell like when you do smell it? It smells crazy, right?
It's very pungent. What does a cyst smell like? It smells like, have you never smelled a cyst? Okay. You guys rub, really dig deep into your belly button and pull your finger out and sniff it. It's ew. Like that times a million.
Oh my gosh. And you do this for a living.
This is what I do for a living. And when I did that cyst, I was not going to go into dermatology. I was going to go into orthopedic surgery. I was going to be a hand microsurgeon. So who knew that in the end,
that would be your career path. You've got a whole lifetime of this. Imagine if you were the doctor who passed out every time. Like, you were a great doctor, but you just passed out every time you did a cyst.
The sight of blood or pus.
Oh my gosh. That's
that would be a problem.
Right? That would be a big problem. You have to look at that stuff all the time.
Yes.
And then you told me another interesting story that a homeless woman came in and she was picking at her scalp.
Yes, we had this woman come in. This is actually not as long ago. I was teaching at UCLA as an attending, and this woman came in and she had a picking problem. She was homeless and she was mentally ill, but she kept saying, I have a skin cancer on my head. And for years she'd been bounced around because everyone said, it's not a skin cancer, you're picking. And she would literally, while she's talking, be picking pieces of flesh off her scalp. She had her entire skull exposed. It was exposed and dry. And I'm to this day surprised that she wasn't infected. She was just super dry. Like it's horrible. And they said, well, let's just do a biopsy just to give her peace of mind. And she did have a skin cancer. She had a basal cell and she was picking it off her scalp.
And everyone was like, oh, she's just homeless and crazy. Yeah. And she actually had cancer.
Yeah.
That's so sad. Right. Wow. Good for you that you were the one that was like, let's actually just test this.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But she was tricky because you would have to graft that. You would have to take some tissue from another part of her body and put it on there. And she would have to stop messing with it for it to heal.
You have to put her in handcuffs restraint.
Yeah. While it's healing.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
Wow. So you saw a lot of homeless people, a lot of like deranged situations.
Yes. We had this one gentleman that came in. It was a vision. He had a cowboy hat on. He was long and lanky. He was all muscle. And he had like jeans on with a big metal belt buckle. And he was like
A cowboy. Yeah.
And, you know, as I'm sitting there, I'm the attending, right? And there's five or six residents seeing patients. Well, they keep talking to each other about this patient. They haven't presented him to me yet. And there's more and more people going in there to like say, hey, what do you think of this rash? What do you think of this rash? What do you think of this rash? And they're like, I think it might be syphilis. And, you know, we don't see syphilis that much anymore. And so especially not secondary syphilis, which is where it gets all over your body, body rash, including your palms, right? So it turns out this guy's got HIV. I walk in, he's got no shirt on, but he just has the jeans with the belt buckle and the hat. And these girls, there's four female residents and two male residents, and they're like, we're going to have to ask him about his sexual history. And they're like, sir, have you had any new sexual partners in the last 6 months? And he's like, hell yeah.
With AIDS? With HIV?
Yeah, with HIV.
Hell yeah, I have.
He's like, hell yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And so they're like, you know, can we examine your penis? And he's like, unclips his buckle, boom, and hits the floor. He's got no underwear on. I mean, it was a vision, just like his pants just fall straight to the floor.
And the belt buckle's
no
like,
underwear.
The belt buckle dents the floor.
That's right. He was ready to undress. He was like, boom. And then, of course, he did have a chancre on his penis, and everybody was like, this is the kind of stuff we're nerds. We get all excited about, but.
You're like, this guy's got a chancre on his penis.
That's right.
What's a chancre?
It's a red sore that you get with syphilis. And so we just wanted to confirm that that's what he had. And so, but it was just crazy that he was ready. Like he just unbuckled, boom, all his pants go straight to the ground. We were all like, there was a moment of silence after that. Like,
and his wiener just out with a weird freaking sore on it. Oh, who sleeps with someone still when they have a sore on their wiener?
I have no idea. And a full body rash.
And how do you treat that syphilis? What do you give people for syphilis? Penicillin. Yeah. Wow. So it's treatable.
Yes.
Can you die from it?
Syphilis was killing all kinds of people. And then they discovered it.
How do you die from it?
Oh, it can start eating up all your tissues and you can get really gross rotting tissues from it. But we don't even see that anymore. That's what I'm saying. That's why everybody was so fascinated by this rash because we just don't see syphilis anymore. Thank God. But
scary.
Dermatology used to be known as dermatology and syphilology. So actually our specialty was the one that was in charge of diagnosing syphilis.
Oh my God.
And there's three different kinds, primary, secondary, and tertiary syphilis. So it was like a big, big epidemic problem in the people. And then
Wow. And then we got penicillin and we got rid of a lot of stuff. That's amazing. I think it's so crazy that, like, you know, you're a doctor, you're a dermatologist, and you have to go through doing all this stuff. Even if you're going to be a dermatologist, you have to cut open a body. Mm-hmm. You have to work in a hospital. You have to do all this stuff. It's like, you think that for dermatology, you would just have to do dermatology related things, you know, but they make you, as a doctor, you do it all.
Uh-huh. You have to get your MD. You have to do your undergrad, then you do 4 years of medical school and then 4 years of residency, including an internship. So yeah, you do a full training.
How hard was medical school?
It's really funny, ask me, like, I want to be a dermatologist. Does it take 8 months or 12 months? I'm like, no, it's 12 years. 12 years to be a dermatologist.
8 months? Where are they going? DeVry University online?
No.
So, wow. Is it really hard? It's hard.
Yeah, it's hard. It is.
People fail all the time and leave.
No. You know, by the time you get into medical school, they do everything they can to keep you, but it's so hard to get in that usually you're a good candidate and able to do it. Like, they're very rigorous about who they accept.
And you're very smart all your whole life?
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah. You seem very smart.
Well, thank you.
I could never do that. That's amazing. So you have to learn everything about pharmaceuticals and like drugs and the bloodstream and everything anatomy about the whole body, everything.
Yep.
Physiology. That's intense.
There's actually a lot of cutaneous manifestations of internal disease. So there's a lot of things that show up on the skin that are evidence of something else happening in the body. So we learn all that too. So we learn all the organ systems, physiology, all that stuff. And then we're able to kind of find clues about what's going on inside by what's going on the outside.
Too. Did you love it?
Love it.
Wow.
I love it. Yeah.
Happy the whole time.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Never like, fuck this.
I'm not that type.
Yeah.
I've always been kind of a Pollyanna, and it's just funny that that's my name, but I just love every minute of it. I really did.
Of learning.
I had two kids, one during med school and one during residency. So there are parts of my training that I don't even remember. Like, I was so busy.
Wow.
I was so busy just like trying to survive and do this and do that and pass my boards and all that. And so, but always with a smile on my face.
And you did this in Louisiana, and you told me some other horror stories that you were working at this charity hospital, which was like one of the biggest county hospital in Louisiana. And you saw some crazy stuff. And this one is really disturbing, you guys. So if you have like, you can't handle hearing, intense kind of gross stuff, you might want to just skip forward about 10 minutes while Dr. Anna tells us this story. So this is the dog.
So we did have a guy come in, and he had been trying to have sex with a small dog, and he actually got his penis stuck, like with negative pressure into the dog. And he had been trying to get it off of him for a while before he even came to the emergency room. So the dog was like exhausted. But basically the penis can get really engorged, and then he couldn't get it past the sphincter of the dog to get it out. And so I think they had to sacrifice the dog to get his penis out of the dog. So that was really sad. And
I wish they sacrificed the guy.
I know. We're like, should we cut his penis off and let the dog live?
Yes.
Or should we?
Yeah. That's what I would have done. I've been like, fuck. I would have just fucking, guys, look away. Just knifed it off and saved the poor little thing. That's so
hard. Be a eunuch.
People are fucked up.
People are fucked up. We saw some crazy, crazy, crazy sex stuff. That's New Orleans. You know, there was someone who came in with a summer sausage in their colon, in their, you know, rectum colon area. And they said, oh, I don't know, maybe I sat on it. And
bro.
Right.
At the barbecue.
At the barbecue.
Someone put it down. And
it was a big summer sausage too, like a really big one. And we couldn't get it out through his, you know, anus.
Oh,
and
my
so we
God.
Had to take him to surgery and run his gut. So that means like when you run his gut and get to the part where the sausage was and push it out from the inside. So he actually had to have his abdomen opened up so that he could get this summer sausage. He was having a bowel obstruction from it. So he's going to literally he could die from that. So
all from putting a sausage up his butt.
Yeah. Not just a little one, but a gigantic one. I was like, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
And then we had one guy who had an antenna in his urethra, which is like the opening to the penis. And it was all the way up into his bladder, got bent in the bladder, and he couldn't pull that antenna out. So he came to the emergency room and everyone was looking at this x-ray like in disbelief. Like here's the penis. Here's the
antenna going
antenna,
up.
And here's the.
He's like, AT&T wouldn't call me back. I had to do what I had to do. Oh, my gosh. Insanity. An antenna up the hole of the penis? Mm-hmm. Guys, just go to a sex store. Like, butt plugs have stoppers on them for a reason. Like, this is crazy. Do you think people are still doing stuff like this?
I really do think so, especially in New Orleans. I think that people are always doing stuff like this. And we don't hear about a lot of it until something really bad happens and they can't fix it themselves.
And things have probably gotten a lot worse during quarantine because people are bored at home. They're like, I wonder if I stick this avocado up my butt, what'll happen?
Oh, that reminds me of another thing that I was going to tell you. We had this entire clinic that was the pap smear clinic, right, at the hospital. And there was something that women would do when they had prolapse of their uterus. They would have prolapse of their uterus. And instead of getting a pessary, which is like a circle you put into your vagina to keep the uterus up from pushing down through the vagina, they would put potatoes.
A so potato?
They would put potatoes in their vagina, these patients, to hold up their uterus, okay? And then one time we went to do a pap smear and there was a sprouted, I am not kidding, little sprouts coming out of the potato.
In the vagina?
In the vagina, a sprouted potato. I don't know if you guys know, if you put potatoes underground, they make like little leaves.
Bro, she goes to Thanksgiving. She's like, y'all, potatoes are here. Just freaking opens up her leg. My grandmom had a prolapsed uterus, and she never fixed it. She just let it hang there.
Yeah, I mean, you can let it hang there, but sometimes it presses on your bladder. So some people use a pessary. It's an old-fashioned circular thing you put in to hold up at least the cone of the uterus. And this is something that happens to people who have lots and lots of babies or, you know, just genetically. But anyway, normally it's like a little ring you put in, but instead the homemade version was the potato. And I just, we couldn't believe it when we went to do her pap smear.
Well, why didn't she change the potato? How long has the potato been in there? It's freaking mashed potato.
These are the questions that we need the answers to.
Did you take it out?
Yes, we had to take it out to do her pap smear.
You're like, we took it out, we cut it open, and we put some chives on it,
Oh, God, we fried it. Everything's good fried, you guys, especially in Louisiana.
Even vagina potatoes. Vagina,
extra flavor. Stop. It was extra flavor.
That is so disgusting. Wow. Can you imagine if it started growing like a tree?
It was already bad, and she made it the next level.
Can you imagine if it started growing a tree, like a whole potato plant? Just growing through her.
At what point are you going to see these little leaves coming out of your vagina?
I can't. Jeez. That's really traumatizing.
And we had tons of people who had babies and didn't know they were pregnant, and they dumped their baby in the toilet and then came to the emergency room like, oh, my God, I have a baby.
Stop. Yeah. They didn't know they were pregnant. They were just at home and they like were taking a shit and they just
bared down and a baby comes out in the toilet. This happened. I can't tell. During the time I was there, maybe like 8 times. So it's not uncommon. It happens.
Would they have the umbilical cord still attached?
Yeah. And so they didn't know what to do. Like
they'd be like, I didn't even know I was pregnant. I didn't even want another kid. And now they got,
I was having
John.
Indigestion. I went to take a poop and this baby came out.
I don't know how you don't know you're pregnant. I've heard so many stories like this.
Yes, and I have seen it firsthand, and I don't know either because I'm super in touch with like
your body, right? Yeah. Like you think,
I
like
mean, you haven't had your period in 9 months. I would say that's one sign.
I saw one where a lady was getting her period, and she wasn't even that big, and she thought she was just bloated, and she had a baby. And she was still doing like spotting because she, so she thought it was her period and she had a baby. Like, that's so scary. I can't imagine. I have had dreams like that where like I'm like peeing and a baby comes out. I'm like, it's scary.
That would really hurt if it came out of your pee.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't even know where babies come out. I'm like, it's peeing and it came out my pee pee. It's so weird. So they would just come with the umbilical cord hanging between their legs and go, and
like, what do I do? What am I going to do? And usually these are people that are first timers or something, because obviously people who've had babies kind of know what it looks like. So, yeah.
Jeez, that's amazing. Did you ever see any other crazy vagina stuff?
What else was crazy vagina? Oh, we saw every kind of STD known to man.
What was the nastiest one you saw?
We had, well, nasty. All of them are. No, I'm just kidding. That's mean.
No, they are. STDs are gross.
They are. We had a lot of chlamydia cases, you know. Chlamydia is easy to treat, but it's just a lot of discharge, you know.
Oof.
So,
guys, keep your bits clean and be safe and practice safe sex unless you're in a relationship with someone for a long time and you know they're safe. You know, it's hard.
And a lot of genital warts. So genital warts we have to worry about because whatever partner the guy has for genital warts will, you know, possibly get those or get affected in their cervix and could get cancer, cervical cancer later. Yeah. So now we have a vaccine for that, but a lot of people haven't had it.
The HPV vaccine? Yeah. Would you recommend that?
For sure.
Yeah, I think I got it. Yeah, a lot of people have HPV though. It's super common from what I've heard. And that's when you can get like, is it herpes or is it?
No.
It's different.
HPV is human papillomavirus, but HSV, human, herpes simplex virus, herpes HSV. So HPV, virus. HSV. So some people mix them up. Herpes is different. But, it, you know, about 85% of our population has herpes, antibodies to herpes, either lip or lower.
Speaking of herpes, has people come to your office with herpes and been like, what's this?
Yes.
What's this? Yeah,
so I don't have herpes. I don't know where this came from. I've never had an outbreak before. I'm like, oh, no. Now we have to have this whole discussion about how it's transmitted. And it's really tricky because sometimes you got herpes like 20 years ago and you didn't realize it because you're not someone that breaks out that much.
Oh, my God.
And you're blaming your current partner, spouse, whatever it is for it. And it's really not their fault.
Really? Or, it could be dormant for super long.
Yeah. We had one case of a girl that was in the ICU when I was resident. And she had ulcerated herpes, the really bad, deep herpes lesions on her vagina. And we cultured it, came back HSV, herpes simplex. And the parents were like, it's impossible. She's never had sex and blah, blah, blah. It's impossible that it's that. And we're over here like, what are we going to say? You know, we took a culture of it and it grew out herpes.
Yeah, so, yeah.
I mean, in that case, it's tricky because they're the person in the ICU is not awake to explain anything.
Yeah.
So, but it's having this horrible rash. This is what they call the dermatologist for. And so we found out. But, you know, so there, it can be really tricky to talk to the family. But herpes is not intrinsically dangerous, whereas, you know, genital warts are can be precancerous.
Yeah. And so can you get herpes just from inanimate stuff or do you have to get it from another person? Like, could you get herpes like, you touched something you shouldn't have and it gave you herpes?
It's
very
unlikely to get it that way.
So she definitely had to have human contact with someone else who had herpes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we have the HSV-1. The HSV-1 is usually labia. And so 75% of the time, what you get on your lips would be HSV-1.
Uh-huh.
And what you get in genital area, 25% of the time. But there's a crossover. So sometimes HSV-2, the one that's normally on the labia, is on these labia. And sometimes it's crossed over. So there's a lot of crossover. And people with the herpes have kids and they kiss them. And they get herpes from their parents when they're growing up. So there's a lot of people with herpes. 85% of our population in the United States has antibodies. So when people freak out, I'm like,
you're like, everybody's got herpes.
Yeah, everybody's got some herpes. Don't worry about it.
I love that you just referred to our lips as also labia.
Well, labia.
Is that what these are called?
Yeah.
Labias?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that. Your facial lips are called labias too?
Yeah, labia.
That's fun.
This is not an accident.
I'm like, my dad kissed me on my labia. It was really weird. People are like, that's creepy. Don't talk like that. But that's so crazy to me. Yeah, because I had a girlfriend growing up who got herpes, and I remember it was like on her lips and crusty, and I was like, what is that? And she's like, I don't know. I just think it's a rash. And I was like, oh, it looks really a little different than a rash. Yeah.
So a lot of people have it, and they either take the medicine for it, or they just don't break out because their immune system keeps it under control.
Wow.
Unless they're totally stressed out or sick, or they get a lot of sun exposure, so they'll pop up with it.
But that's crazy. So, wow. And so you had all this experience at Charity Hospital, and then you finally decided that you wanted to do dermatology.
Yes.
Which is so good, because I said that I love that she's a dermatologist, because especially, you know, her skin's so good and she's so beautiful. So it's like, I feel like, you know, you go to a doctor, and if they do some, you know, they look the part, and you look like, oh, this is a person I trust. Like, you look like a person that I would go, oh yeah, I trust them. You know, some doctors you go and they're like, you're like, oh God.
Thank it's kind of scary. Yeah, they can be overdone or just wonder, what are they going to do to your face if their face
if it doesn't look good. Yeah.
What's their aesthetic, you know? So I try to really moderate what I do on myself. I have access to everything. And so.
And you inject yourself.
I inject myself. So every third time that I want to inject myself, I actually inject myself, because I don't want to get overdone.
Yes.
And so I really have to rein myself in. Like, I just did my lips a few weeks ago, and I'm feeling a little bit weird about them, like that they're too big right now.
No, they look great.
You don't think so?
No, I would tell you. But I also love like a lip. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I try to be conservative so people won't look at me and go, oh my God, look at all the stuff she's done. You know,
never
natural.
No, you look very natural. And you've had 2 kids, and you have like this booming Instagram page where she posts everything, you guys. I mean, everything from, you know, all her different medical, you know, the little procedures. I've seen you lance cysts on your Instagram page.
My favorite.
And I've seen her she's done my filler and Botox. And, you know, I think it's what I love about your page is that women are on there doing these procedures and sharing it, and not being like, oh, got to keep it quiet, have to keep it hush hush. You know, I think it's so stupid that there's these big girls on Instagram who go like, oh no, like I'm naturally this, I'm naturally that. It's like, no, dude, I've seen you in people's offices. I've run into you. There's so many, and I wish I could drop names, but I won't do that. It's not my place.
Don't do that to me.
I won't, but I know, so many famous people who come to see you even, and they just are on their Instagram like, oh, like so blessed, like just a natural face. And I'm just like, be real. And that's what I love, is that you show a lot of women on there going and then getting stuff done, and like, who cares? Like, whatever, it makes you feel good about yourself. That's totally fine and healthy.
We're trying to demystify what it's like to get these procedures done, like whether it's stigmatic to get it done, whether, you know, I think that as long as the person is doing it from a place of, I want to look better and feel healthy better inside, attitude about it, and not trying to like change their whole life with this, then it's a healthy thing. And also, people watch the procedure and they realize it's really not that horrible. Obviously, the person's sitting there, they're talking, chatting with you the whole time, and they're fine. And I've got people like you, thank you, that allow me to share that and let other people feel more comfortable about the whole idea of doing something like that. What is it really like to get injections? Is it as horrible as it sounds? It's not. And how many different people do it in different ages? I've got people that are in their 20s, 30s, all the way up to the 80s that will do some procedures to make themselves look and feel better. And I want to demystify that. And what's interesting to me, one thing I've noticed on my Instagram, you'll see people of all ages, right? And people, though, will come in who are over, let's say, 40 or 50, and they'll say, you only treat those models and those young women. So I feel intimidated. I go, look back at my Instagram.
No, there's everybody.
I would say it's fully balanced, right? Mm-hmm. And that's how my practice really is. So it's funny that they only remember the models and the actresses and the, you know what I'm saying? And they've discounted the ones. You see, that's what happens over time. People think that women become invisible, and they feel that they become invisible. And look, people look at my Instagram and think, oh, you only do models and actresses. I'm like, no, look at my Instagram.
You can be beautiful at any age. That's truly believe that. And you've done great work on me. I mean, I have naturally a very narrow, thin face, and that's always bothered me. And I've already had TMJ when I was younger, and I had jaw surgery. My chin is still really large. And so what Dr. Guanche did was add some filler to the jawline. You guys can see. and it gives you a more balanced look. Otherwise, my face was very narrow, very sunken in, some under eye filler, just a little bit of everything, and it really balances the face out. And people have said to me that I've gotten plastic surgery. They're like, she's gotten her whole face redone. I mean, I do look a lot different than I did on Vine, but it's all just filler. It's never, no surgery. It's all literally just with a little bit of filler. You'd be surprised how much you can change your face. And that's not getting put under. It's not, you know, risky. It's risky, totally safe. And, you know, so if you're out there and you do nose jobs with filler. Which people have seen. And it's so nuts to see a person come in and they have a big bump and they want their nose straight and they don't even have to get a rhinoplasty.
That's right. It's amazing how much we can do with just a little bit of filler to reshape the nose. And also what's really amazing is the reaction in these people that have been upset about their nose for so long and then they see their beautiful profile. I mean, they often get tears in their eyes, and It's what I'm about is making people happy and making them confident. All of a sudden, they're posting more pictures of themselves. They're going out more. They feel better. And it's 5 minutes, no surgery. And so I love that. We can do that. We do the nose. We do jawline, lips, chin augmentation. We can even do a facial lift with the guanche lift that I invented. So we can basically sculpt your face with a needle. But one of the things that I really emphasize is not to overdo. So we do it and you look pretty and you look good
and natural
and not done.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I've had people say that I look different, which I do, but I don't think I'm like overdone. I don't go, like, I only come see you like every once in a while. And like, I always want to do more. And you're always like, no. Like that's what I love about you too, is that you're like, no, calm down, Brittany. I'm like, I want a whole new face. She's like, chill, Brittany, calm down. But that's what's so great about it. And so if you're uncomfortable or unhappy with the way you look, guys, like, you don't always have to go under a knife. You know, if you want to feel better about yourself, there's so many alternatives. And I think people don't realize that. Just like filler, you do such a great job with it. If you guys want to see more of that, it's on the Instagram page, Anna Guanche.
It's at Anna Guanche.
At Anna Guanche MD, and also the Bella Skin Institute, which is her facility that has, and they post all kinds of procedures. So if you have any questions about anything, make sure to go check that out. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back asking you more questions about everything on Worse First.
Love.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling, because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Guys, we are back on Worst First. We just took a quick break, and God bless Dr. Guanche, because this is her second time doing this with me, because I'm a dumbass. <Round two. laughs> And I didn't record it the first time like an idiot, and I'm so sorry. And I love you. And I just wanted to secretly spend more time with you.
Oops, I love this girl. She is so easy to be around.
I love you. Thanks for being here too. So this is actually so crazy that you told me over the break, and I'm like traumatized by it. And I don't know what I would do if I saw this in my life, but this is another situation that happened when you were resident.
Yeah, I was telling her, you know, we would rotate from one service to the other. And, you know, on my emergency service rotation, there was this woman who wanted it to be a man, and she had like this crazy psychotic break, and she had taken a chainsaw to herself and she had filleted her breast off, and all you could see is ribs, and and her whole breast was cut off. It's pretty big, you know, big one. And basically we had, so we are in the emergency room. We had to lavage everything, clean it up and put it back, you know, sedate her and staple it back on and put it, you know, literally we use staples to get it back on so it would heal. Well, she the whole time said, I want to be a man. And she's screaming. We had to calm her down. Well, what happens on my next rotation is psych. And my very first patient, I walk in, looks at me and punches me in the stomach. And for a second, I was like, what just happened? Like, I was like, that was the first and last time I've ever been punched by a patient. But I, because she was covered in blankets and stuff, I didn't realize it was that same woman. And then I realized, oh my God, it's the woman. And she's mad at me.
Because you sewed her tits back on.
Putting her boob back on. Oh my God.
She thought she was going to get a free mastectomy.
She was going to, that's what she wanted. She wanted to be a man. She was like, she thought she's just going to use a chainsaw to take it off.
God, I was saying, I'm like, I can't even handle when Tommy like tweaks my nipple, let alone like, he'll be like, you know, he'll be like, coming in radar, you know, like touching my nipples. I can't imagine a chainsaw to your titty.
Insane.
Like, you must really want to be a man.
Yes.
And she probably thought she was going to get freebie. Like, go to the hospital. They're like, all right, well, got to take it off. But and nope, you put it back on.
You know, it's very apropos for the times, you know, with all the people wanting gender reassignment surgery. And I understand that she wanted that, but I was thinking about how I was going to tell you this story. And there was no way we could have, like, in that emergency situation with a dirty wound, there's no way we could have done that surgery for her anyway. That would be something you have to plan out. And we have to make sure that we cleaned up the area and that she healed without any infection. And then we could go back and maybe do a planned reassignment surgery. But that was, she was so mad that her breast was
put back on. I just can't imagine. I mean, I've actually gone, and this is the one thing, everyone thinks my boobs are fake. My boobs are real. But I actually went through a time where I hated my boobs because I was the only girl with like really big boobs when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And I went to a doctor and wanted to have them taken off, like very, make them smaller.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, we don't do that. And I was like,
they said, we don't do that.
For my age, because I was like 16. Yeah, they're like, no, we're not going to do that because they're just going to grow back if you're, you know, you have naturally big boobs.
They were just trying to convince you not to mess with yourself.
Yeah, I was like, ugh.
And that's a good idea.
I know. I'm glad I didn't too, because my husband loves boobies. But to be honest, like it is, you know, everyone thinks I have fake boobs, but they're real boobs.
It is daunting. Yeah.
To have big boobies. You have big natural boobies too.
She's trying to get me to record this.
Guys, we're back. Sorry. I'm trying to get Dr. Guanche to stay even longer. I had my phone on airplane mode to do these podcasts and someone was able to still call me, which is really disturbing. I don't know why that happened. So Daniel, you can just cut that out. Or we're picking back up. We're picking right back up. Someone tried to call my phone and ruin our podcast. But we were talking about large natural breasts and how daunting they are.
It's so rough. No, but I'm telling you, everything you pick, every outfit you have to,
it's really, it is. Do you have people come into you wanting to inject their boobs with anything?
Yeah. You can actually do filler in your boobs and make them more full.
What do you put in the boob? Well, it's like wrestling.
Mm-hmm. It's like wrestling, or sometimes we use Voluma. And so that's something in Europe, they've been doing macrolane injections, which is a cousin of Restylane as well, and to plump the breasts, especially people that have, you know, the ones that are flat on top and more volume on the bottom. So you can actually revolumize the top quarter of the breast.
Wow.
So there's a lot of celebrities that do that who don't want implants, but just want a little more fullness in their upper breast.
And butts too, right?
Oh, butts we fill all the time.
What do you put in the butt? Just tacos. You're like, this is some roast beef.
Here, let me give you some food to eat. No. So a lot of times if people don't have enough body fat to move their fat from their waist to their butt, then you put filler. So basically Voluma is a hyaluronic acid filler that lasts a long time. Looks amazing.
Wow.
And that's the one that I like best. But you can also do Sculptra. And Sculptra is like a particulate suspension. And we put that in. And it stimulates your own collagen and your own tissue growth. So, and some people will opt to do a combination of both. But I don't do those crazy, crazy gigantic butts. I just do the ones that just need a little more perkiness. You'll see that on my Instagram.
Yeah.
And so there's people, you know, one of the things that happens with aging is that your butt gets a little smaller and flatter.
Yes.
And, you know, younger women have tiny waists, bigger butts. And as women get older, they get a thicker waist and a flatter butt. So it's a youth enhancing procedure to have a perkier butt.
Wow. And I went to your office and I had the M Sculpt and I put that on my butt. And that's like a electromagnetic pulse that's like working out, like doing like 30,000 lunges in like, what, 30 minutes?
Yeah, it's like doing 20,000 lunges in 30 minutes. Yeah.
And it's called M Sculpt. And it's actually amazing, guys. And it actually made my butt so perky. And there's like a video I did on my Instagram with Tommy where you can see my butt first. Second, everyone's like, whoa, she got her butt done. I'm like, no, I literally just did this M Sculpt and it was so cool. And that was fun. And you do that for the abs now?
Yes.
So you can get abs without working out?
Yeah, you can do abs. It really knits your abs together, tightens them. And so people that have had babies or even just people who just want to have a narrower, more toned waist are doing M Sculpt, including me. Every time I have like 30 minutes,
I love it.
I just pop myself on the M Sculpt machine. And then we have new hand pieces for the arms. You can do triceps, you can do biceps and calves.
I love that. So there's so many non-surgical ways, non-invasive.
Yeah.
And to do things,
and
which
guess
I love.
What? There's a new injectable coming out for cellulite.
Called?
It's called Quo.
Quo.
Quo. Quo, I believe.
I love that.
And it is so exciting to me because it's going to be non-surgical and it's going to help cellulite long-term. And it helps to reduce those little fibrous adhesions that make the dimples.
Dimples, yeah.
So I'm excited. Because
they say there's like strings that are pulling it,
yes,
right?
That
makes it like,
it
yeah. And men don't have it, you fucking, God.
I mean, honestly, the medical literature says 90 to 95% of women have cellulite, no matter what they weigh. So it's not really abnormal, but it's interesting that we don't like it.
Right.
Like, as a society, both women and men think it's unattractive, but there's an estimate that like 95% of women have cellulite.
I know. I see pictures of people all the time, like supermodels on the beach that are like 110 pounds and they have cellulite.
Yeah.
It's just genetic, right?
It's like genetic. And then also, you know how they take pictures and it's positional and lighting and all that stuff. But yes, it's one of those things that happens.
It's very normal.
Just kidding.
You actually don't, by the way. I've seen your legs. I have it, but it's all good. My mom has it. Like, it's genetic. Yeah, okay. I'll post a cellulite picture one day, guys. Maybe I'll post it with this. Maybe with this video, I'll post it. If you guys want to see my cellulite, leave a comment. There's probably like a cellulite fetish board somewhere too.
Oh my God, I want to meet those guys.
For guys that love cellulite, they're just like, yeah.
Yes,
the more, the better. They're like, we want to look like you sat on rocks for 6 days. My husband actually checked my cellulite one time and it made me so sad. Like, I was sitting down and I got up and I was walking away and he's like, what's wrong with your butt? Like, he didn't know. Cause I was like, when we first started dating him, I was like 108 pounds. Now I'm like 120. So I gained some weight. I'm happy. I'm married. I eat. You eat, you get happy.
She looks great.
I love
Amazing.
You. And I got up and he's like, what's wrong with your butt? And I was like, what? And he's like, it's all dimply. He's like, were you sitting on rocks? And I was like, You bitch. No, I just told him, I was like, it's cellulite and you're going to love it. You better love that shit.
Them's fighting words.
Oh my gosh. Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was really, he didn't know what it was because I guess everyone that he's dated has never had it, but whatever. Welcome to the real world, Tommy.
The real world.
Yeah,
that's
so
right.
It's actually really intense.
Have you been
intense.
Sitting on rocks?
Speaking of the real world, I just want
to- you have rocks in your head?
Seriously.
I'm going to throw a rock at you.
Speaking of rock, really, honestly.
Right?
I was so offended. But speaking of real life, so many people, girls on Instagram, we all edit our photos a little bit. It's like, it's not, you know, I try to post like a real photo once in a while where I look crazy just so people remember, like, not everyone looks perfect all the time, duh. And there's so many people that I see in your office and come in and like, no, I'm so naturally beautiful and like, I don't do anything. And I'm like, bitch, I just saw you, like,
you
know,
like,
and they don't say anything about it. Like, I actually want to normalize people showing. I think people should normalize it.
Yes, they should. It's one of the reasons I wrote my book, 7 Days to Sexy, is because I saw what celebrities and models look like in real life, and they look great.
Yes.
It's not like they look horrible, but totally different than what you see on the red carpet.
Right.
And so, like, I you know how I always talk to my patients at length and ask them all their secrets and find out what they're doing. So basically the 7 Days to Sexy concept was, what are all the things you're doing that you can do that you go from in my office 3 days ago to I see you on the red carpet looking unbelievable? not that you're not beautiful naturally, but like, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking hair extension, eyelashes, body makeup. There's certain strategic tapes people use to make their knees look tighter, to make their face look tighter. There's like corset training and juice cleansing and like all these things that people do in preparation for the red carpet. And, you know, also whatever photos they post, there might be filters, there might be Photoshop,
yes.
all that. But, you know, it's to, not to make people feel bad. I mean, you know, people should realize that this is not what they rolled out of bed.
It's not reality.
Like,
right? Yeah, it's not like.
And so.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to make that available. Like if you read the book, oh, I can do this.
Yeah.
This, and a lot of it's not that expensive. Most of the stuff I mentioned is available, let's say, on Amazon or whatever. And you can just, you know, try to glam yourself up to that next level too.
Yeah.
Why not?
Check out Dr. Guanche's book. I have a copy, 7 Days to Sexy, and it has so many great pieces of advice. And I was asking you earlier, the one thing that you recommend, the one product that you said is like something that everyone should use no matter what your age.
Everyone should be on Retin-A at night. Retin-A is a topical that basically regulates epidermal proliferation. So that means it regulates the way your skin cells divide. So you're going to get less skin cancer, less brown spots, and less wrinkles over time. The one downside that stops people from using Retin-A is that you have a 6-week period of time where your skin has to adjust to it when you're peely and red and all that. You have to get through that 6 weeks. And then as you keep using it, you don't peel anymore, but you get the benefits. So there's been studies where people did side-to-side studies with people who had used Retin-A for 5 years. And 85% of the aesthetic experts guessed the one that had the older picture as the younger picture.
Wow.
85% of the time. Yeah. Because they'd been using Retin-A for 5 years.
And you can start at any time.
You can start at any time.
Does it reverse aging too?
I think so.
A little bit.
It helps with pigmentation and it helps with fine lines. But you got to suffer through that retinoid reaction. And Retin-A is not owned by any company that's marketing it. It's not owned by, you know, a beauty company. It's a prescription. And so you don't hear as much about it. You hear a little bit more about the side effects of peeling, this, that, but.
And you have to get it from your dermatologist.
From a MD or dermatologist.
Yeah, a doctor.
Yeah. And you know, basically I don't know any dermatologists that are not on Retin-A every night.
Wow.
I mean, there's not a dermatologist I know that's not on it.
That's amazing.
And so it's one of those things that you just is a staple.
Wow. So guys, if you live in the Valley or if you live in California and you want to go see Dr. Guanche, even in Beverly Hills, she's in Calabasas at the Bell Skin Institute. People come to see you and get a Retin-A prescription. Mm-hmm. Is there anyone who can't take it or put it on?
You're not supposed to use it if you're pregnant.
Okay.
So we would say if you're trying to get pregnant, I would wait if you're pregnant. Yeah, definitely not.
Right.
But other than that.
Your baby just comes out like super smooth. They're like, the baby's skin is like, it's like porcelain. My gosh. And then when you were telling me about this other thing, which I actually really want to try, but it's not legal in the United States.
We were talking about.
Because I lay in the sun all the time.
We were saying she should not be so tan and laying in the sun all the time. But I'm a dermatologist, so what do you expect? I'm supposed to yell at her about that.
Yes.
But we were also talking about this drug that was developed called melanotan. And the concept of the drug was that you were going to be able to put this shot in and then your whole body gets tanned, but without the UV damage. So you don't get skin cancer and all that, right?
Right.
And so that was the concept. But they found out that people that took the injection were extremely horny, like extremely, and it crosses the blood-brain barrier. So it makes people like centrally horny, like not just like Viagra makes an engorgement of the penis or whatever. This is like a real like chemical horny, like,
wow.
And so I actually was turned on to it or told about it.
Turned on to it. Oh my God, we're 12. I love us.
By this one of my patients who was with dating a chiropractor, she said, oh, he's got access to this stuff. We each put a shot in each other's butt on Friday. We have sex all weekend. And then on Sunday, we're just dead. We just lay around like a bunch of tired dogs and we're done. And then also we're tan.
Oh my God, this sounds amazing. Horny and tan. Why is it not legal in the United States?
So they did the studies when they realized the libido thing was so strong. They actually are in phase 3 trials for a libido drug. So
they're going to make it a libido drug instead.
Uh-huh. It's called bremelanotide.
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 I'm going to keep my ears peeled for it.
Yeah.
PT-141.
Well, that's the drug name. I don't know what the name brand will be, but I wonder what they'll call it.
Horny. But it sounds great. Tan and horny? Are you kidding me? Sounds like the best thing ever.
And the only one thing that us dermatologists are worried about is that because it stimulates melanin production, that what if it stimulates like a pre-melanoma or a melanoma that's small to grow bigger and become more aggressive? Or, you know, that would be the only thing that we're not sure how that turns out to be.
But right.
The rest of it. Yeah, I mean,
damn.
We'll see.
All of a sudden, next week on Worst First, me and Tommy are super tan and just like super, hey guys, just all horny and tired. All of a sudden.
What they will do is just not do their next podcast.
I know, there won't even be a podcast. We're skipping. I'll just be like heavy breathing, like, like people are like, ew, what's going on here? Oh my God. Okay. So retin-A, super important.
Retin-A.
I tried it one time and I told you I peeled for like a week and then I just couldn't handle it. And so I stopped doing it, but maybe I'll get on it again.
So when you're a resident in dermatology, almost everybody starts it then. And, you know, I think I started and stopped it about 6 times because of all the patchy peeling and everything. And then you just finally get through. And then the thing to do is not to stop after you get adjusted, because it upregulates enzymes in your skin that handle the retin-A. If you stop it for a while, you gotta go through the whole retin-A.
Because your skin is not peely at all. Your skin's so beautiful and matte and smooth.
Thank you.
And you do it every night.
I do it every night.
Do you put it on your neck too? And chest or just?
And my hands.
Oh, wow, and the hands.
That's one thing you guys should remember is when you put all your products on your face, that you should put it on your neck, chest, and hands, because what happens over time is people take care of their face and then their age shows more on their chest and neck and their hands because they haven't been protecting them as much.
That's so interesting. So. And what's your like go-to beauty product? Like while I have you here, like I want to know like what's your like favorite beauty product other than retin-A, managing your skin? Like, is there a good beauty product
sunscreen
that you love, and sunscreen and staying out of the sun and not enjoying life? And sitting and basically being in the vampire and sitting in the shadows.
All this is fake tan.
I love it.
Let's see. My favorite right now, I mean, it changes all the time.
Yeah.
My favorite right now is Restore-C. It's actually a topical that has an enzyme in it called aquabutene. It's derived from the eggs of fish. You know, they have a little enzyme that they use to open the egg when it's time for them to hatch out. And that enzyme actually takes off dead skin cells from your skin and is beautifying, aquabutene. And so I use that every day.
Restore-C. Is it a mask or is it a lotion?
It's a serum.
A serum. Mm-hmm. And where can we get that online?
At bellaskinstore.com.
bellaskinstore.com, Restore-C, and it has fish eggs in it, and it makes you young. Okay.
It doesn't smell like fish eggs. It smells really nice.
That's amazing. I love that. And then have you heard about snail? Like,
yes, we have that too.
What is that?
So snail serum. We have the SMD Cosmetics one. It's basically, the concept is that the mucus of the snail is designed to protect the underbelly of the snail that's crawling over all these rough surfaces. And it's a barrier that helps the skin or epithelium heal really fast, but also heal and recover fast. So it's something that I would, for example, put retin-A on my skin and then put the snail serum over it just to seal everything in and help my skin barrier.
Is it actually from snails?
Yeah. Yeah, they actually purge them of their mucus, but they don't kill them.
Wow.
They keep them for the next batch. You know how snails will secrete more?
Yeah, they have a snail trail.
If you put an irritant, they'll just
secrete more of it.
Wow,
so you're actually just putting snail slime on your face.
Yes.
Have you heard anything about cum on the face? Is that like a false?
Only from my husband.
My husband too.
He's like, I think I have the cure for that.
My husband says,
I know what will make your skin look really pretty.
Yeah, but is it true or is it no? There's no science behind that.
No, but there is some truth to. There were some studies about the fact that having seminal fluid in your vagina on a regular basis keeps you ovulating and keeps you young longer.
Really? So,
it's a signal to your body that you're still sexually active. There's like little markers in there or things. And I don't remember the details of how they transmit the message, but basically it's to let your body know that you're still in the game, I guess, in a way, rather than it's time to put you out to pasture.
Yeah.
And so people that use condoms, for example, would want to know that, oh, it's better to actually have, I mean, obviously you need birth control, but
if you don't want babies,
yeah, but you would want to have, you know, the semen in that mucosal area so it's absorbed into the mucosa.
That's amazing. That's so interesting you said that too,
and it has oxytocin and serotonins. Oh. So it actually gives you a sense of well-being after sex that you get those through the mucosa absorbed.
Wow,
so.
No wonder people feel better after sex.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Good for you. It's good for you.
I noticed that too. Like if like I have sex with my husband, I'll notice like all of a sudden I feel like I'm about to get my period again. Like I feel like my body's going through ovulation. Like it kickstarts it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh yeah. If it's the right time of
yeah.
the month. But I mean intrinsically like not just like that day, but yeah. the sort of overall that yeah. you're in the game. If it's hard to explain.
Wow. That's but, so amazing.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Because when you're not sexually active for a long period of time, your body sort of registers that too. But can I scientifically prove that? That's what the study was trying to say, is that you're basically signaling to your body that you're still active that way and not to sort of have you go into a decline phase.
Because right.
that's what nature does, right? If you're not like in a fertile phase, you're in a declining
yeah.
phase.
Yeah. That's so crazy. I know I heard that something about when you start to go through menopause or people that are young that have had hysterectomies and whatnot. Mm-hmm. The only reason why I haven't really had one, because I do have a lot of ovarian issues and I've thought about having one, but I heard it ages you really fast. Yes. So why is that?
So your ovaries secrete a lot of hormones that are basically, again, telling your body that you're fertile and young.
Yeah.
And so when you take them away, it's pretty shocking to your system as a woman, and your skin thins out and you get wrinkles more easily. I would say don't take out your ovaries unless you absolutely have to
yeah.
for your safety. You
right,
know?
Right, right.
But if it's just annoying, then I would say you're going to be much more annoyed by the accelerated aging that happens, because again, nature is designed to say, oh, you have no ovaries. You're not ovulating. We don't need you because you're not going to
reproduce. Oh my gosh.
That's what nature says.
And then it starts like
horrible
getting
nature.
Ready to put you down. Like
yeah.
your body's just
you
like, well,
pasture.
She's not going to give us a baby. And so bye, Felicia. Wow. And I'm never having kids. So that's really scary. But
No. Keep your ovaries.
I'm going to try as hard as I can. I get like ovarian cysts, speaking of cysts.
Oh.
I know. I don't get them anywhere else, but I get them on my ovaries. I know you don't deal with that.
I don't deal with those kind of cysts.
Yeah. You're like, if you have a cyst on your face or your head or your eye or your back. Oh my gosh. How often do you see cysts? Like every week?
Yeah, I see cysts all the time. I take them out. Again, that's not something I put a ton of on Instagram. I could put more on. People love
to watch
that.
I've seen you
that.
Put cysts on there, though.
Lipomas and cysts. They love. It's like a train wreck. They want to watch it. They can't help themselves.
I love watching it.
I would say that because we love doing cosmetic, that's kind of like my passion. So we put a lot more of the cosmetic, but we're doing skin cancer surgeries. We're doing mole removals, we're doing, you know, we treat rashes and all that stuff, and also cysts. We either drain them if they're infected, or we'll just take them out if they're not. And so yeah, we just did a couple, so those should be up pretty soon. We just did two on the same day. So
I would love to see more cyst content.
You want to see that? Really?
I would love it. I live for the cyst content. I think it's so cool.
I'm actually good friends with Sandra Lee, who's Dr. Pimple Popper.
Oh, you are? Oh my gosh, hers is all cyst content.
She is the queen. I love her.
I can only watch so much of that.
I know. It's so graphic.
I like it in little bits.
Now her practice has gotten to the point where people come from far and wide with the most unbelievable lipomas and cysts for her to take out. And so she's got like people flying in to see her with that. And so they have the most far gone graphic.
They have to buy a seat for their cyst. Yeah, they're like, my cyst had its own seat the whole ride. My gosh, it's scary. I wouldn't want people to come in if I were you with cysts. I'd be scared.
So that's the thing, you know, and a couple of years ago, maybe 5 years ago, people kept asking me, well, why don't you do the same thing as she does and put a lot of cysts on? And then, you know, I go, but I don't, my thing is beauty. Like that's my passion. I don't want a whole bunch of people coming in for cysts. Don't get me wrong. If
come
you have a cyst,
cysts,
I'm happy to take care of you, but it's not my passion that I want a whole practice full of. So
I don't know whose passion would be that. Like, hey, bring in your big stinky cyst so I can cut them open. You can squirt all over the place. Like, I would rather do the beauty stuff too.
I have a PA that loves that, is obsessed. Like, if there's a cyst, she comes out of the woodwork to come watch that. She's like, so excited by it.
Wow.
Thank God there's people for everything. There's someone for everything.
And I'm so glad that you take such good care of your patients and really help people feel their best, which is my favorite thing. You always make people feel good and welcome. And make sure to follow Dr. Guanche, Anna Guanche, MD, on Instagram and the Billa Skin Institute for more updates and all kinds of, you're always posting new devices and treatments mm-hmm. and all kinds of new things that you come up with. And guys, make sure to go get a Retin-A prescription, because that seems to be the thing that, helps us maintain our youth for as long as we possibly can.
As long as possible.
And, and wear sunscreen, even though I should take my own advice, because I lay in oil in the sun, which is horrible, right?
Gasp.
I know, but I'll be that, I'm going to be like Magda from Something About Mary. Did you see that movie with the old tan lady with the boobs?
Wait, that's Something About Mary, the one with the...
Yeah, the hair, but Magda was like the overly tan. Guys, Google Magda and her boobs and Something About Mary. That's who I'm going to be in about 10 years. Give me 10 years.
Not if I have something to do with
it.
I'll be here for you.
My facial skin will just be really nice.
Just your face.
And then I just have
the rest of your body.
Saggy, scary tits.
Just wear those high neck outfits.
I will do that. But make sure to follow Dr. Guanche and make sure to check out her book, 7 Days to Sexy, for lots of tips and advice. And we will see you next week. Thank you for staying around for the second time recording this on Worst First.
Bye.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.